When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting."
Okay. Very good. Questions, comments on that, Herb? Okay. Yeah, definitely the miraculous. Again, I think the question would come, why Peter? Why not James?
He was the head of the apostles.
Okay, head of the apostles.
Peter, James was
already dead. Well, he's probably already executed. Why not save James in the same way? Why not preserve all the apostles or all the Christians? So again, those why questions we just can't answer. Okay. God allows these things to happen for what purpose? Okay. It's always going to be the case for the Christian church in this world, and we may not see it physically here in this country, but Christians throughout the world suffer for the faith. They get persecuted for that belief. Okay. So this is always going to be the case for the church, and we have an example of that. There's no guarantee that because you're an apostle that you're safe. And all the rest of the apostles, save John, will suffer the same fate. Okay, but later on. So they'll survive through this by the grace of God, as we see here through the working of the angel. So miraculous indeed that this takes place. And, you know, Luke sets up as the historian the situation. He kind of put could have easily just said, oh, he was in prison and then the angel set him free. But he goes through and he gives you some detail to make the story more compelling here. So Herod was about to bring him out on that very night. So this is the night before. Peter's sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Sound like a fun situation? And obviously they're concerned what could happen here. He's got four squads of soldiers around him, sleeping between two of them, while chained with two chains within the prison itself. Sentries at the gate, and making sure no one's going to get in without proper authority. Now, really, are they afraid of these apostles of Jesus? Can they have ability to get in here? Miraculously, sure. But they're probably not thinking that. Maybe it's still in their mind, too, from 10, 12 years ago when that guy Jesus was at the tomb there and there were four guys that were on duty there that passed out and they couldn't hold their post there. So we got to make sure we got enough guys guarding this Peter guy, too. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, and it's, again, will be helpful for the church, you know, as they see the aftermath of our prayers. Look at what our prayers help to accomplish, perhaps. Okay, so strengthening of faith in that sense. And then Peter is rescued. That'll also then elevate probably him in the eyes of the people. And God saved him. Okay, he was preserved. He could have been executed too. But God set him free. Okay, so that would say God still has something important for Peter to accomplish. And obviously, so as we know, looking back on the whole history there. Yeah.
Would Peter's imprisonment be after the other people were released by angels?
When?
Well, when they were in prison and they came to
the angels. What? When did they? They had escaped before. Was there an escape before when Peter and John were in prison, right? I think after the healing there, they were on trial, but then they were set free. They got abused, you know, punished. They were beaten. Said stop doing the, but they went through trial, I think, or at least some type of a hearing. I don't know if we've had any. Has that happened yet?
No.
Okay. Sorry. The one that I'm thinking of is the Philippi. Okay, the jailer in Philippi. He's the one who once it's Saul or Paul, and I think it's is it Titus at that point? I don't know. They're in prison, and they the angel opens up the gate, and they're able to go free, but they don't. And the jailer, you know, he's worried that they're already gone. They go, oh, we haven't left, right? He's gonna kill himself. That hasn't happened yet. That's still to come. I'd have to go back and look. My memory is fuzzy. It shouldn't be, but I guess it was a year ago.
No, not that one. When we talked about the earlier movements in the church, but I don't think anything like this has happened just yet. But I could be wrong.
Right. So we have then him bound between two sleeping guards, or maybe the guards weren't sleeping.
This gets interesting, right? Bound with two chains, sentries before the door, guarding the prison. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. Notice what's not happening here. Okay. So again, we have revelation from an angel to an individual without everyone noticing. Or at least any report that they're noticing. My guess is they don't. Okay, otherwise, they'd be frantic, okay, trying to figure out, how do we stop this? What's going on here? Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, and what's it almost makes it sound like these guys are asleep, right? Because they don't do have any reaction, do they? Angel stands next to him. Light shines in the cell. He strikes Peter on the side, wakes him up. Get up quickly. And chains fall off. The angel says to him, "Dress yourself. Put on your sandals." He does so. And why? What are all these guards doing during this? Peter, what are you doing? How do these chains fall off? I mean, there's no report on that. Again, maybe they're not right next to him. Maybe they're a distance away and they can't see any of this. I don't know. Yeah. Well, nothing's impossible, right? Is he freeze time? And now this is all happening. We don't know, right? He went out and followed him. Wrap your cloak around him. He did not know what he was that this was being done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. Okay, so that would make sense then. He's seeing this all happen, but nobody else would see it because it isn't actually happening. It's just a vision. Okay, but when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. Whew. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street. Immediately the angel left him. So definitely a miracle. And a lot more than just Peter's now free. It's a whole miracle on how this even went about or came about.
Because we don't have Luke reporting anything else, you know, how does this all happen in the presence of these trained soldiers whose job it is to guard, okay, to protect, to defend? It's pretty remarkable what's going on. And again, it doesn't seem like anybody's seeing this or noticing what's happening. Can you imagine being one of those soldiers, you know, during that? Or all of a sudden, you know, everything is different now. Where did he go? What happened here? You know, and then you're in charge. You're responsible. Okay, so a lot of conflict, I'm sure, would arise following that. Yeah, but.
I think God is answering prayer.
Sure. Yeah, in a way that they never expected, probably, right? And I'm sure they weren't praying for a miraculous escape for Peter, but simply protect him, keep him safe, allow this King Herod to stop what he's doing. So that Peter, you know, would not be executed. I'm sure the other Christians in captivity too. But this is what God has in mind. Okay, of course, sending his angel in and allowing all this to take place rather miraculously. Okay. Any other questions or comments on this? Yeah, Dan?
I've been contemplating the thing with James.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you know, it says, why was Peter saved, James was,
yeah,
James was saved.
Well,
and yeah, also the sword would have been probably a swift death,
mm-hmm,
rather than a painful death.
Right.
God is still showing that their occupation is a very dangerous occupation, mm-hmm, and the world still hates the gospel and hates God.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things are kind of to be all wrapped up into that.
Yep.
And if anyone ever got this line, well done, good and faithful service, I'm sure that when James went into glory,
mm-hmm,
that's what he heard.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that's all valid. Again, purpose for any death of the Christians is to show this life isn't everything. Yeah, you want things to go well, and nobody's against that, but we're not going to live this way forever. Death will come for all of us at some point. For James, it was a quick one in that sense, it seems like. And I don't think he would have cared. You know, it wasn't like we have any record of him mourning. I was too soon. I'm not ready yet. He knew what the consequences of being a follower of Christ. They were willing to do that and willing to die. We don't really have any, I don't think, record of any of those apostles complaining about their coming death. They're willing to take it.
like Jesus did. As sheep before their shearers is silent, or before the, you know, being led to the slaughter is silent. You know, neither did Jesus open his mouth, neither did Stephen didn't.
And Paul said, yeah. Deliverance to the gain and to die is to gain.
Absolutely.
The gain to the world.
Yeah. Yeah, so that should be, again, that's good for the mentality of all of God's. Okay, we don't hasten our death. We don't want to go quickly. Okay, but if it happens, it happens. That's not the end. And again, this where amazing grace does come in handy. When 10,000 years have passed, it's yet nothing compared to all of eternity. But even this little bit of time we live now, you know, while it's everything to us, it's really just a drop in the bucket of the ocean of eternal life. And so it'll have meaning because it's when we believe in Christ and what gains us access to his kingdom. But all the sadness, all the pain, all the discomfort, well, well surpassed by the glory of God's kingdom. Yeah.
You know, the Christians, I think this was some of the Muslims, Christians that they had, and I think it was these people that were going around that came to know in Iraq and different places, and they had them and they shot,
right.
They shot their heads off.
Mm-hmm.
And they burned this one Christian up and with gasoline.
Yeah.
And they didn't deny their faith.
Right. Right.
I can't think of what those men.
Oh, well, I think that was, I don't know, it wasn't ISIS yet at that point.
Yes, it was.
Oh, was
ISIS.
It? Okay.
Yeah. They
yeah.
Off
yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was terrible.
Right. Right.
But they didn't deny the faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they said, get out of here.
Yeah, well, keep in mind what the apostles considered suffering for the faith was.
Yeah.
It was an honor. And they were felt privileged and honored to suffer for the sake of Christ.
And
yeah, which is, you know, again, you think of, well, what's the worst the world can do to you? And they think, you know, killing you, we're going to end your life, that's it for you. For the Christian, no, that's not the end. And that's actually all the more reason to rejoice. We're suffering for the faith, dying for the faith. The church is going to continue on and hopefully even strengthened by the steadfastness of faith shown by these people, by God's grace. And yeah, that should be evidence. Yeah, that you don't have, I don't know of any real stories of Christians fleeing or being, I mean, you've got Christians who flee persecution in the New Testament, but when it comes time for execution or death, yeah, you don't hear them whining and complaining. Yeah, they're usually silent, and if they are speaking, it's in testimony to the gospel.
That's,
yeah, throughout most of history. So that's, again, that's a gift of God. Because left to our own human nature, we'd be pleading, begging, please, no, don't do this. I got a family, I got all this. And these people had families too. Loved ones, friends. Okay, and they knew that this is not the end. Yeah, this is not all there is. It would be pretty sad if it was. And we'd really be wanting to fight for things longer, to enjoy this more. But yeah, we got it good, and it's going to get even better, for sure. Okay. Other hands, comments? Dave?
The thing is, I wanted to follow up on Paul's experience in prison. That was in Acts. Next week's life.
Okay.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, this week.
It's 16:25.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. And that's the one in Philippi? well, that's all right. It's coming. It's probably the case. Yeah, Philippian jailer converted. That's in 16. Yeah. So we're not far. Well, a couple chapters away. We'll leave it at that. Okay, so finishing up this part here, just to make sure we're secure and moving forward. When they pass the first second, okay, comes outside the city. The angel does leave him once they're along the street. Peter comes to himself. He has the realization, okay, now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod, from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Okay, so naturally he realizes this is not a vision. This has actually happened. And it's a miracle. God has delivered him.
No real boasting there, simply an acknowledgement of what's happened. Now what's he going to do? He kind of was left wondering this as I was reading it. Okay, now the angel's gone, I'm out here on the street, now what? Where do you go from here? Okay, do you go back into the city? I mean, how did you get arrested in the first place? You know, where do you go? Okay. And so we'll get that in the next section here where he does decide to go. And I would assume it's a safer place to go rather than where he was before, but it doesn't seem to be an issue for Luke, so we'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. Yeah, they saw what happened to James. They know what happened to Jesus. They know what happened to Stephen. Okay, let's get Peter. I mean, that again, you want the head, you want the leader. Yeah, but notice what's happening here. Okay. As Gamaliel predicted, if it's the thing of God, you can't stop it. Okay. And it's, don't want to equate it with a hydra, okay, but Jesus, of course, is the head. You killed him, but he rose from the dead. Okay. Now you got Peter who's in charge, but actually James, the brother of Jesus, will be leader of the church in Jerusalem. You got him as a leader. Stephen was influential. You killed him, but that didn't stop the church. You're always going to have more and more of these Christians God puts in place to lead. You can't stop God's movement. He's always going to put his people in place to proclaim the gospel, to keep that momentum going. It's not going to go out. You can't snuff it. And that's, you know, again, pretty arrogant thinking to think any human being or any human institution or movement could stop God's will, because stop God's movement. And it's just not going to happen. Comforting. Yeah. Even here, even now, early on. Okay, and this is, again, helpful when we see the first part following Pentecost at the time of that peace. They're able to proclaim the gospel and coexist in Jerusalem with the Jews. And then Stephen is martyred, so they have to spread out the diaspora, the dispersion. And then they've still got Christians there, but you got them going into the Gentile territories. Again, you got persecution in Jerusalem, so going to make it tough for Christians to live there. Probably more than are going to want to find other safer zones to go to. And of course, then they'll take the faith with them, find the other Christians in those areas, and help them in the churches there. And the gospel will continue to expand. And again, that's the same thing. Every time you've got an execution, a murder, or the martyrdom of a saint or an apostle, the church isn't going to decline, it's going to increase. And naturally, you humanly wouldn't want to be the cause of that in that way, but so be it if that's what God chooses to decide. And that the early church had that, I think, what is it? The church is built on the blood of the saints, or if the blood of the saints serves as the way that the growth comes up out of the ground, it waters the earth of the church, so that the church continues to blossom and grow. It's not going to stop it, it's only going to seek to keep it going. Okay. And that's a very good thing indeed. But again, the devil and the world in its sinful ways can't resist. If it has an opportunity to end the life of a Christian, it's going to do it. Not realizing, of course, it's only going to make it even worse for them in the long run. So that's God's way, that's his will, and we're happy about that no matter what comes our way. All right, well, let's stand to sing our doxology.